You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Good afternoon, traders, and welcome back to the CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast. This is the daily broadcast of indeterminate length, where we discuss all things E-Mini, along with some really big ideas on the finer points of trading gold, bonds, crude, sugar, the euro. Joining us today, Mr. Michael Bork. From our trading desk in Chicago, Mr. Burton Schlichter. Now, to get things started, let's go to our host and founder in Studio A, overlooking South Mountain, America's largest city park. Here's Dwayne.
There we go. Now we got it. All right. Good afternoon. Welcome back. Today is Wednesday. It is the 8th day of June, 2022. Thanks so much for joining us. Whoever you are, wherever you are, we're just glad to have you right here, right now. We do two live broadcasts each and every day. The first one is private, the second one is public. The private broadcast is from 9:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. Eastern. And that's reserved for our members and those taking our 1 week free trial. But the afternoon broadcast, the one you're tuned into right now, which begins at 12 noon Eastern every trading day, it's open to the whole wide world. You, your friends' friends, you get the idea. Now, while the morning broadcast is private, you have to be a member or on the trial. The afternoon broadcast, we broadcast that live on our YouTube channel. Now, there's two ways to join the afternoon show. The best way to join is to go to our homepage at cfrn.net. On the right-hand side of the page, click that big microphone, follow the instructions. It'll take about 30 seconds to do the registration, but after you do that 30-second registration, you're done. You'll be able to join the show each and every day with one-click access. Now, the way it works is right before the show starts, you'll get an email, and in the email there will be a link, and all you have to do is click the link and it automatically logs you in. Which begs the question, why is that the best way? It's the best way because it gives you access to the question box so that you can ask questions and participate in the discussion. However, there will be days you're out of the office, away from your desktop, on vacation, but you still want to join the show live. Piece of cake. Simply point your browser to youtube.com/CFRN. Pretty easy to remember, right? youtube.com/CFRN. Now, not only do we broadcast live each day on our YouTube channel, but we also archive each and every daily show. Currently, there are over 2,000 daily live broadcasts archived for your educational and viewing pleasure. And over a month ago, Spotify started archiving our afternoon broadcast. We're grateful for that. We want to say thank you, Spotify. And of course, we always want to say thank you, YouTube, because you've helped us develop one of the largest free libraries of e-mini training anywhere on the internet. And that's kind of a big deal. So thanks, Spotify. Thanks, YouTube. And thank you, faithful listener, for tuning in. Let's open with a word of prayer the way we do each and every day. Our scripture is Proverbs 16:9. In his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. You know, a lot of our opening prayers have been about parenting of late. And I think it's a twofold reason that God keeps bringing us back to this place is because many parents today struggle, and many grandparents today have found themselves acting in the role of parent. I have friends in my life where that's the case. My concern, as I've mentioned, is what happens to the next generation. Well, though parenting is a great blessing, we undoubtedly treasure, but it often causes us to worry and pray the most. Kids are only containable and controllable to a certain extent. When I'm overwhelmed, scouring through scriptures to pray on my kids' behalf and desperate for God to shield them, He is faithful to remind me that control over their lives, it's not ultimately mine. Abba, Yahweh, loves them infinitely more than I ever could. I often need to take my own advice and pray and be patient while God works out the details of their days in His sovereignty. He's never given me a reason to doubt Him, and I needn't worry that He'll fail to be faithful. Because again and again in my life, I've seen that when I'm not faithful, He is steady as a rock. We, as Solomon, who wisely wrote in Proverbs, have a tendency to plot and plan the course of our lives and those of our children. John Lennon said, "Life is the plans we make while God laughs." If I misquoted that, Mr. John Lennon, my apology. And so then we ask for God's blessing, but God's will for our lives is to obediently follow His lead to the best of our ability. But the Lord significantly and purposefully, written in all caps to remind us who the Lord is, determines our steps. He alone knows what's up next in our lives. He can see around the corner, He can see over the mountain, and you and I can't. When we are good stewards of the time, talents, and treasures He blesses us with on earth, we have nothing to worry about, nothing to fear. For His plans for us and our children are good plans, more than we could ask or imagine. Faithfully following Jesus is the greatest example we can set for our children. His love never falters or fades. Jesus meets us right where we are and walks with us. By the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling in every believer of Christ, we will walk out the steps the Lord determines for His glory and His honor. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank You for the reminder of Your sovereignty and our place as Your children. You chose us, created us, and purposed us, and our children. When we are tempted to worry and request Your blessing over our plans instead of aiming to hear Your will for our lives, grab our attention, convict our hearts, and remind us of who You are and who we are in Christ, sons and daughters of the one true God. Yahweh, let the repetition of saying your name call us, calm us in the midst of worrisome circumstances and challenging moments as parents. Let the weight of perfection fall off of our shoulders and the weightless and limitless freedom of grace rush through our lives. Let our daily lives, everything we think, everything we do, honor you. Bless our role as parents or grandparents and give us the wisdom we need in order to release the grip of control that so deceitfully sneaks into the cracks of our lives when we fear the decisions our children are making. Help us release them into your hands. Protect them from those who wish to harm them. Shield and soften their hearts, Father, over everything we plan and worry about. Most of all, we pray your will for our lives. You are good. You are God. And we trust you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And everybody said amen. All right, let me give you the numbers from around the world. These are the cash markets, or in the U.S. where we're going to start, the cash markets, or the indices, as they're called. And we've got some mixed markets, which is always troublesome. But anyway, currently the Dow is down 51 points. The NASDAQ is up 16. S&P 500 is down 10, and the Russell 2000, our man in the street, is down just over 7 points. In the commodity basket, crude oil up $2.61, trading 121.99 last. That's a gain of over 2%. Gold up $9, trading $18.60.90 last. Silver up 3 cents, trading $22.21 last. With the exception of crude, it's some pretty quiet sideways consolidation. In the Asian markets at the close today, the Nikkei posted a gain 290 points, that's a little over 1%. Shanghai gained 22 points, and the Hang Seng rose 482 points, which is a gain of almost 2.25%. And in the European markets at the close, FTSE down 5 points, DAX down 110 points, and the CAC down 61 points. No movers, no shakers in that bunch. So, that gives us a green day in Asia, a red day in the UK, and it's a mixed radio Wednesday here in the US of A, with three of the major indices in the red and just the NASDAQ slightly in the green, up 20 points. And at this point, we'll go to Michael and get a recap of what happened this morning in the live training room. After that, I'll come back. We'll take a look at the Logic 247 alerts, the Concierge Trade alerts, and at any point during the discussion or during the broadcast, if you have a question, just type it into the question box. And either Michael or myself or somebody will be very happy to answer your question for you. Again, that's why I explained at the beginning of the show the best way to log in is going through that 30-second process so that you do have access to the question box and so that you can ask questions throughout the broadcast. Last thing in the world we want you to do is be confused about what we do, because we've worked so hard for so many years to take something as incredibly complicated as trading and worked very hard to make it very simple. So Michael, I can see your screens.
All right.
You can take it away, my friend. It's all yours.
Here we go. Good afternoon, everyone. Today is Wednesday, the 8th day of June, 2022. All right, if you've not taken a free trial with us and you want to, go here to emanitrainingschool.com on this page. All that we ask for is your first name, your email, and your phone number. You can tell us the biggest trading challenge so we can tailor one-on-one training just for you. Hit the send button and you'll be sent a confirmation link. You must click on that confirmation link. Okay, if you don't click that link, we don't know that you took the free trial, so you gotta make sure you click on it. All right, so we had a pretty good day today. Even with the sideways markets, we still had a pretty good day. Had a couple of big trades, but mostly normal-sized trades. Only 27 this morning, so it wasn't a huge trading day. It was kind of average for lately. But anyway, if you're going to read the spreadsheet, you got to read all the CFTC risk disclosures down at the bottom. Today is the 8th day of June, 2022. And today we made 65 ticks in crude, 4 ticks in gold, and 51 ticks on the ES. That put us at plus 1,327 bucks on the morning session. Today it took 16 minutes and 5 trades to get to the goal for the day. At that point, we're up $105 a contract, and we took a total of 27 trades this morning. So on the month now, we're at $4,382 a contract. That is over 6 trading days, averaging $730 per contract per 2-hour trading day. This is the only month so far where we haven't been averaging over $1,000 a contract at this point. but it's still early. Anyway, that I was saying that. I'm going to show you something in a minute about the market sort of getting back to normal. Now, you could call it holiday trading, but it's actually not. And I'll explain that in a minute. Not holiday trading, but summertime trading. Anyway, so we're at $4,382.50 on the month, and that's over 6 trading days, averaging $730 a contract per 2-hour trading day. We've gotten our goal for the day. Well, we've gone 170 days since our last negative day, 170 business days. That puts us all the way back into September of last year was our last negative day. We've gone 109 days so far this year, getting our goal for the day. Okay. And that's every day so far this year. And that puts us at $116,481 on the year, averaging $1,068 per contract per 2-hour business day. All right, if you were to quit when you got your goal for the day and you had one contract a month, you would have worked 16.28 hours so far this year and averaged $2,930 per hour on the year. All right, let's get into it. The gold, we didn't have too many trades on gold today. You see it all right here. We had just 3 trades, really. We didn't miss much either. We missed one highest probability long trade right here. We had a break even there. Highest probability long trade here that I missed. It looks like there was a short here that I missed. It would have gotten us some profit if I had gotten it. Highest probability long there that I missed. This, I was doing a moment in time. I said I thought it was going to go up here, down here, and then make a run up. Set up this slingshot just right, and that's what it did. It did set it up perfectly. That's what I was hoping for. Now, it was when the bar was like this and the green line was up here, right? This was exactly where it was. So if you had only this to see what I told everybody that I thought it was going to do is make a little bit of a run up, then pull back and set up the slingshot so that we're going to have the green line well below the cycle, and we're going to have a good trade coming up. And it worked out perfectly to give us the highest probability trade. It went up to the line that I drew, came back down, didn't go all the way down to this one, but it did go back down, hit the BBC, came off the BBC with blue on the bar. That means the MA1 and the cycle are the same color. Highest probability trade right there, and the BBC was blue. That is your very highest probability trade. You see, that was a really nice move right there. Now, we missed all that, but that's what that was our moment in time. Okay, and right here, we did all this, went all the way up there and came all the way back down, but that was all within like a couple of seconds, and I ended up just getting 4 ticks out of that, and I got a break even right here. And then we get into the break. During the break, there was one highest probability short right here, and that was it. One highest probability short. That was gold today, right? Not a ton of opportunity on gold. Right, on crude oil, we had a bunch of trades on crude. Let me just go all the way back here to the beginning. Okay, here we go. We started out here with a break-even trade. Now, we were given these numbers for it to get to, and it was doing a pretty good job in getting to the numbers. It wasn't doing exactly when I thought it was going to, but it was doing a pretty good job on getting to them. We had a break-even there, missed a trade there, there, and there. Those were highest probability trades that I missed right there. Both of them worked out. This was the highest probability short right here that it looks like I picked up 8 ticks on. Then another one right here I picked up 10 ticks on. Put me at plus 18. Then one of these I picked up a couple of ticks on to get me to 20. And then one I picked up a couple of ticks on to get me to 20. One I picked up one tick on to get me to 21. And then we picked up 10 ticks here to get to 31. And right here, another break even. And from 31, another break even. This was the moment in time with the crude oil. I thought it was going to go up to here and then down to here. It did go up to there. It didn't go down to here so fast, but it did eventually went down. It did eventually go down to there. There was one long trade off the BBC right here that would have been a break even trade. This was the moment in time though. Okay, we picked up over here. We had gone from, where were we at on crude? 31, I believe, right? Yeah, we're at 31. So we had a couple of break-even trades. Then somewhere in here, we gained 4 ticks to go to 35, then 1 tick to go to 36. And there's stuff missing here on crude. I don't have this big trade right here listed. This is a 1 tick. This is a 4 tick. So I missed this one. So we did a lot better on crude than I thought. Because I went all the way over here, we're at 36. So we missed a little bit of profit there, a little bit of profit there. A lot of profit right here. I don't remember exactly what this was. 40 up to 55. I think that was like 13 or 14 ticks. 4 ticks right there. I missed that and that. And this was our last big trade right here. We went from 36 to 65. I think we picked up 29 ticks on this one, on that move right there. And that was my last trade for crude. Now, during the break, there was one highest probability trade right here that would have worked out. One right here that would have worked out. One right here that would have been a break even for me. One right here that would have been okay. One right here that would have been okay. So there were quite a few trades during the break, highest probability trades. And that was it. Right, for crude, we ended up with plus 65. We actually ended up with plus 90, I think, on crude, but we'll say plus 65. I'm sorry, plus 80, not 90. All right, on the ES now, let me check the question box. Still no questions, okay. On the ES, now our first trade on the ES was right here. We ended up with a break even. Here we picked up one tick. Then another tick got us to plus 2. Then right here we picked up 18 ticks to get us to 20. Okay, then went from 20 to 26 right there. And then 26 to 30 right there. This was our moment in time. I didn't know what the ES was going to do with the moment in time. I thought it was going to go up to here and I wasn't sure what it was going to do once it got there. And it really didn't give anything for a little while until all the way over here it started giving short trades again. Okay, I guess it gave one and two on the way down there too. I guess it was one right up in here and one right in here. but as it moved over into here, we went from, where were we at? 20, hang on. And right in here, we had, well, this was our moment of time. This is where I didn't know what it was going to do right here. I thought it was going to go up, and I didn't know what it was going to do after that. But at that point, we had gone from this big trade here, where we got, yes, we went from 2 to 20. So we picked up 18 ticks, then 6 ticks, then Vortex, then we had the Moment in Time. Okay, so we're at 30, then we had one there to get us to 31. Then we had a 10 tick trade right there to get us to 41. Then a couple of ticks to get us to 43, then six ticks to get us to 49. Then a couple of ticks to get us to 51. And that was where we ended with the ES on the morning session. Now you can see all the lines that I was putting in here, you know, the target numbers that I was putting here. So it was getting to the targets pretty well. And it was, you know, it was identifying things pretty well with the trading. During the break, highest probability trades, there was one right in here. There was one right in here. Yeah, that was it. Those were all the highest probability trades. So it worked out pretty well with the ES today. And it didn't just work out well for me. It worked out well for everyone else, too. Now, the stuff that I mentioned to you yesterday, this is crude oil. If you have the right color bar hitting the right color line, short right there, long right there. Long right here. Short right here didn't really go anywhere. Short right here. Long right here. Short there. Let's see. Long right there. Long right through here. Short right there. Long right there. Short right in there. You see how simple this is? This part of it. I will have that for you guys soon. Okay. All right. So back to the spreadsheet and all that stuff. Here we go. On the spreadsheet now. If you are going to read the spreadsheet, you got to read all the CFTC risk disclosures down at the bottom. Today's the 8th day of June, 2022. Made 65 ticks in crude, 4 ticks in gold, and 51 ticks on the ES. Put us at 13.27.50 on the morning session. Today it took 16 minutes and 5 trades to get to the goal for the day. At that point, we're up $105 a contract. And we took a total of 27 trades this morning. So on the month now, we're at $4,382. So we're 6 trading days, averaging $730 per contract per 2-hour business day. Now gone 170 days since our last negative day, and we've gotten a goal for the day every day so far this year, 109 days. On the year now, that puts us at $116,481, averaging $1,068 per contract per 2-hour business day. If you were to quit trading when you got your goal for the day, and you did get your goal for the day every day, and you did everything just like I did, then if you added one contract a month, you would have only worked 16.28 hours so far this year, and you would be at averaging $2,930 per hour, okay? Now, if you've not taken the free trial and you want to, go here to eminitrainingschool.com. On this page, scroll down to right here. All we ask for is your first name, your email, and your phone number. You can tell us the biggest trading challenge, so we can tailor one-on-one training just for you. Hit the send button, and you'll be sent a confirmation link. You must click on the confirmation link. Okay, if you don't click that link, we don't know that you took the free trial. So make sure you click on that link. All right. All right. That is it, guys. With that, we can pass it back out to fabulous Phoenix, Arizona, overlooking South Mountain, America's largest city park. Dwayne, if you are ready. Okay.
Let me grab this. And do this.
There you go. It's going over and
this.
There you go. I can see it now.
And
I can see back. It.
Okay, excellent. Recap of the recap.
Today it took 16 minutes and 5 trades to get to $105 per contract.
Good job.
Thank you.
As always.
Thank you.
And Michael just gave you a recap of everything that happened this morning, the first 2 hours since the Wall Street open, 9:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. Eastern. As I explained earlier, we do 2 live broadcasts each day. The first one is private for members only and those taking our free trial. The afternoon broadcast you're watching now is open to the whole world. You, your friends, your friends' friends, anybody with an internet connected browser. Logic 247. We're in week 201 since we launched Logic 247. What is Logic 247? It's our round-the-clock 24/7 e-mini alert service, which includes not only the e-minis, the crude, gold, silver, the euro, and now even bonds. Valerie had to take off a little early today, so as of 11:30 a.m., what's happened since the Globex markets opened Sunday night at 6 p.m. Eastern, we've issued a total of 61 alerts, 17 never triggered, still waiting on the outcome of 7, that's given us 37 actionable alerts, of which 6 or 16% would have been stopped out based on not risking more than $300 per contract per trade, less when possible, using market structure and a very simple three-step process that we teach all of our traders. Now, along with the Logic 247 alerts, which come out around the clock and are based on current price action, our original alert service, the Concierge Trade Alerts, those are a little bit different in a couple different ways. Number one, they don't come out around the clock. They come out as a static report shortly after the Globex open. So the markets opened last night at 6 p.m. Eastern. The static report was published at 6:30 p.m. Eastern. Chances are you don't trade all of these markets, but the markets you do trade, here's what you need to do. Go to the market that you trade, and using the ES as an example, draw a line in the sand at 41.72, draw a line in the sand at 41.23. Most important, make note of where price is at the time the report is published. Because going forward, if price starts trending up towards 41.72, that's bullish. That means our strategy will be looking for opportunities to be long the market. If price starts trending down towards 41.23, well, that's bearish. That means our strategy will be looking for opportunities to be short the market. In either case, what you'll do is you'll use Logic 247. Remember, these are based on historic price action. And so you'll use Logic 247 based on current price action. And everything you learn in the live training room each and every day, to yourself, find opportunities to be long or short the market. Now, if you want to grab a screenshot, please do, because we'll walk through each and every one of these individual markets in just a few minutes and get an idea of what happened with each and every one of those alerts. Before we jump into those, I've got a couple of headlines I want to share with you that I think are important. 5 of the 35 House Republicans who angered former President Donald Trump by voting to create the January 6th Commission appeared on primary ballots Tuesday, and at least 4 of them survived. In Mississippi's 3rd Congressional District, incumbent Michael Guest is headed for a runoff against challenger Michael Cassidy. Representatives Chris Smith of New Jersey and Dusty Johnson, South Dakota, both easily defeated their primary opponents, while Representative Marionette Miller Meeks of Iowa ran unopposed. The race in California's 22nd congressional district is still too early to call. But as of today, this morning, Representative David Velado was leading challenger Chris Mathis by around 6 percentage points. Before it was perceived to be a done deal that Trump could kill you, now it's not so clear, according to GOP consultant Bob Heckman. Ukrainian troops facing a fierce Russian attack in the eastern city of Severodonetsk may be forced to give up ground. Luhansk Governor Sergei Hadai said Wednesday, fighting is still going and no one is going to give up the city, even if our military has to step back to stronger positions. Hyundai said on television, no one will give up anything, but it's possible they will be forced to pull back. Severodonetsk and its twin city, Luhansk, are the last major obstacles standing between Russian forces and total control of Luhansk Oblast. Russia's defense ministry, meanwhile, said it has opened road and rail access between Russian territory and occupied Crimea. A federal advisory committee on Tuesday recommended that the U.S. Food and Drug Administration authorize another two-dose COVID-19 vaccine. Ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching. You owe it to yourself to do your due diligence to find out who the people are who own the majority of stocks in these companies that are creating the vaccines. Every time somebody gets a jab, there's somebody, many people, making money off every jab. If you're willing to do the deep dive to find out who owns the majority of share, be it through a shell company, be it through a hedge fund, I want to say I think you'll be surprised, but you're such an intelligent audience, I don't think you'll be surprised at all. Should the FDA move forward with authorization, the Novavax vaccine would become the fourth shot available for U.S. adults and the first created using traditional vaccine production methods. First, however, the FDA must approve the Novavax manufacturing process, which has had its fair share of troubles over the last few years. The vaccine isn't expected to be available quite yet, maybe for a couple more weeks. Representative Karen Bass, Democrat of California, and billionaire Rick Caruso, a longtime Republican who switched parties earlier this year, will face off in a November runoff to replace term-limited Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti. As of Wednesday morning, Caruso led Bass 47% to 37%, with 18% of precincts reporting. Caruso, who spent $37.5 million of his own money on his campaign, said he would expand the police force and tackle the city's homeless problem. Bass, a six-term congresswoman, has called Caruso divisive and compared him to former President Donald Trump. San Francisco DA Chesa Boudin recalled. Sometimes the little guy does win. San Francisco District Attorney Chesa Boudin conceded defeat in his recall election on Tuesday night, with 53% of precincts reporting Wednesday morning. 60% of voters backed the recall. Several news outlets projected his loss Tuesday night. Boudin was elected in 2019, promising to eliminate cash bail and divert low-level offenders into mental health and drug treatment programs. During his first 2 years in office, violent and property crimes dropped, while burglaries and motor vehicle thefts rose. The recall campaign against Bodine, which was heavily funded by business groups, accused him of not doing enough to keep San Francisco safe. More to come. Matthew McConaughey visited the White House on Tuesday to meet with President Biden and deliver an impassioned speech in support of gun reform. The Oscar-winning actor is from Uvalde, Texas, where 19 children and two teachers were killed in a mass shooting last month. At a White House press briefing, McConaughey delivered emotional remarks recounting stories about the shooting victims after meeting with their families. He urged lawmakers to make the loss of these lives matter by implementing gun control reforms, including raising the minimum age to purchase an AR-15 to 21. The actor said responsible gun owners are fed up with the Second Amendment being abused and hijacked by some deranged individuals. 2 weeks after Cynthia Loomis, Republican from Wyoming, said she didn't think strengthening background checks on gun purchases would be acceptable in the state of Wyoming, she revealed on Tuesday that she was surprised by how receptive Wyoming callers seemed to be to address guns in some manner. Loomis told CNN that since the mass shooting at Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, Texas, which left 19 children and two teachers dead, her office has received an influx of calls from Wyoming residents who want something to be done to prevent future massacres. After hearing from constituents, Loomis said she is considering voting for a package that would include allowing gun background checks to examine juvenile criminal records. That's a big deal. But you know what? I support that. Okay? This young man who did what he did in Uvalde, Texas, there were so many warning signs that he was, and I use the term loosely, mentally deranged. Someone should have known, especially after the public claims he made on social media and the fact that he had met with psychological professionals who all knew he was a ticking time bomb, but instead of defusing the bomb, they continued to let it tick until it was too late. Global economic growth will slow before the end of 2022, and most countries should begin preparing for a recession. This, according to the World Bank, in an economic forecast released yesterday. The World Bank president wrote this: "For many countries, recession will be hard to avoid. Several years of above average inflation and below average growth are now likely, with potentially destabilizing consequences for low and middle income economies. It's a phenomenon, stagflation, that the world has not seen since the 1970s and the presidency of one Jimmy Carter, who is from my home state, Georgia. At the beginning of 2022, the World Bank predicted the world economy would grow 4.1%. After the Russian invasion of Ukraine, that number has been revised to just 2.9%. 6%. That doesn't even keep up with inflation. Especially when you got $10 a gallon gasoline in Mendocino County. And the national average over $5 a gallon. Now, that's just gas. But the other items that we use every day, from food, clothing, to baby formula, which I don't know if those shelves are still empty or not, because I don't have a baby in my household. I have children, but I have no babies. Many of you in the audience do, and you will know the answer to that question. The Department of Homeland Security on Tuesday warned of an increased threat of extremist violence over the next 6 months as midterm elections, the potential downfall of Roe v. Wade, and surging migration at the southern border exacerbate tensions nationwide. Why doesn't somebody do something about the southern border? We can send $38 billion to Ukraine to protect their border. Why can't we, you know, part with a few taxpayer dollars? Because it's all taxpayer money. These politicians, they're not paying for it. And these politicians that want to take away your guns and your ammo, well, it's because they don't need guns and ammo, because they have bodyguards packed to the gills with high-powered guns and plenty of ammunition. And these politicians who don't want to fool with the southern border by putting up a wall, go to their house, go to their neighborhood. You'll find gates, you'll find walls. So see, walls are okay for them, just not for the rest of us. This is beyond wrong. America has never been in such a horrible situation. Let us pray for our nation and for the world at large, because it is changing before our very eyes, day by day. In its latest National Terrorism Advisory System bulletin, the DHS said the U.S. is already in a heightened threat environment, and the aforementioned factors could make matters worse. In the coming months, we expect the threat environment to become more dynamic, as several high-profile events could be exploited to justify acts of violence against a range of possible targets. The DHS continued to write, and the bulletin notably focused far more on homegrown extremism than threats from abroad. Let that sink in. And our final headline. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen said Tuesday at a Senate Finance Committee hearing that current levels of inflation are unacceptable. But isn't she the same person who just a couple months ago said that this inflation was transitory? Didn't that become the talking point on so many of the liberal cable news channels? Oh, it's transitory. It's transitory. Don't worry about it. I'm telling you, $10 a gallon for gasoline, it's not transitory. And I believe it's going to get a lot worse before it gets any better. She blamed high prices primarily on disruptions caused by the pandemic's effect on supply chains and disturbances to oil and food markets resulting from Russia's war in Ukraine. Let me ask you a question. With as much farmland as we have in America, why should, and as much natural energy as we have in America, why should we ever become dependent on foreign governments for our food and for our energy? Why? Now, let's back up to the farmland. Who owns the most farmland in America? Bill Gates. Who's the second largest farmland owner in America? The Chinese. Are you seeing a connection there? I'm pretty sure you can connect your own dots on that. To lower costs for Americans, Yellen pointed to President Biden's clean energy initiatives and his plan to lower prescription drug costs. So when they're asked a question about one thing, they just babble about something else, and they think you and I are so stupid, we're just going to accept it. All right, that's it for the headlines. Let me stop now before I get worked up. Let's go to the charts. The whole thing this show's about. All right. S&P 500 E-mini Futures daily chart. All right. The last important swing high on the daily chart was put in March 29th at 46.31. We then pulled back to the daily BBC, which stands for bull bear cross. Above it were bullish, below it were bearish. We struggled 3 days at the BBC, and then we dropped. And then we pulled back to the BBC. The pullback holds more often than it doesn't. So then we drop, we pull back. For 3 days, the pullback held until it dropped again. Then we got a minor retracement, another leg to the downside. Pull back to the BBC, the pullback holds more often than not, no matter what market, no matter what time frame. This is not just about the S&P futures daily. This is about how markets work. Price flows the same across all markets and all time frames. From support to resistance, back to support, back to resistance, over and over again and again. Now, most vendors out there want you to believe that it's far more complicated than that. Why? So they can sell you all of these fancy pants and expensive solutions to problems that don't even exist. If they just came out and told you the truth, like we do, they wouldn't be able to say anything else. That's why we only have one thing. It's the CFRN passport. I'll just show you that page now and get it over with. 9 out of 10 new traders fail because they don't have a teacher. Imagine trying to learn how to become a doctor, a plumber, an electrician, a barista, or an airline pilot, just to name a few, without having someone to teach you how to do it. Other companies offer solutions, books, videos, but those are no sub, and I have nothing against books and videos, but they are no substitute for a live instructor putting on, taking off trades 2 hours a day, every trading day, right in front of you, in live markets, explaining every move they make, every trade they take, and the rule behind it, while they answer your questions as you trade along in the simulator until you qualify to trade real money. Along with having a live instructor every day, Passport gives you unlimited one-on-one mentoring. The methodology and the indicators we provide works across all markets, all time frames. Futures, stocks, crypto, forex, options. Because again, price flows the same across all markets and all time frames. our indicators are considered dynamic support and resistance, because if it's true what I said, and I assure you it is, wouldn't it be nice to have an idea of where the market's going to next find support and next find resistance? It's exactly what our indicators do. They give you dynamic support and resistance from the moment the market's open Sunday night at 6 p.m. Eastern till they close Friday afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern. Now, not only does our methodology and our indicators work across all markets and all time frames, as a passport holder, you always also receive the Logic 247 alerts, the Concierge Trade alerts. You have access to the Thursday night members only workshop, all that and much more. What we offer is truly everything a trader needs. One low price, all under one roof. Now, the passport, how much is it? God, it must be a lot if it's lifetime and includes all that stuff. It's $5,000. $49.97 to be exact. Many self-proclaimed gurus will charge you that much money for 1 hour of their time. And I have no doubt that during that 1 hour, you're going to learn something. But 2 days later, when you have a question, well, if you want an answer, you're going to have to cut another check. But our passport is lifetime. It's an all-access pass to everything we do, everything we've ever done, and everything we're going to do in the future. There are no upsells. There are no new shiny objects to buy every other week. Because we teach you the truth about trading. And the truth about trading has not changed since the inception of the markets, and the truth about trading will remain in existence until the markets cease to exist. So, if you've had enough of the parlor tricks and the circus acts, and you want to get serious and actually learn how to trade, because our goal is to get you to the point where you don't need us. Now, we're like a family here, so we don't want you to take off just because you've mastered the strategy and mastered the indicators. Scripture says, to whom much is given, much is required. We very much want you to stick around and help the next new guy. We have a number of discussion groups in our various Telegram channels. When you take a free trial with us, we allow you to mix and mingle with our traders. People who stood in your shoes at one point in time, they had spent lots of time and lots of treasure trying to learn how to trade. They had had no success, but today they know success. They now understand what it is to be a consistently profitable trader. And so you don't have to just take it from me or Michael or Valerie or Bert, but you get to actually mix and mingle and talk to the people who have purchased a passport, learned how to trade, and are now giving back to the community by sharing with you how their journey went. Okay? eminifuturestrading.com. That's where you get your passport. Again, it never expires. There's no recurring fees. None of that. And no upsells. Will never insult your intelligence that way. Now, if you have any difficulty getting your passport at this address, call Valerie at 949-42-EMINI or send an email to support@cfrn.net. So back to where we are on the daily chart. We've gotten back above the BBC. We couldn't quite make it to the 50% reverse fib. So we pulled back to the BBC. We rallied, but we were unable to take out that high. So then we came back to the BBC and put in a lower high. And then we came back to the BBC and put in yet another lower high. And as you can see today, we're printing a red candle. Now, major support is at the BBC. If we take out these swing lows, then price will most likely drop down to about 4,000 as a starter. If we can overcome blue and climbing, which is resistance when it's directly above price, then we got to take out that high and that high, the 50% reverse fib, overcome this trend line, overcome the 62% reverse fib, and if buyers can prove their commitment, institutional buyers, because remember, it's the institutional money that moves the markets. That's why I start you out every day on this show with a daily chart. Because institutional traders, they look at daily, weekly, and monthly charts the way you and I, as retail traders, look at 30-minute charts, 5-minute charts, tick charts, and range charts. Okay? It's important for you to understand what the institutional buyers are seeing and thinking, and the action they're taking based upon how price is moving on the daily chart. Okay? So buyers had taken control of the ball back on May 27th. But every attempt to move the ball up the field, well, this trend line that I drew in a while ago, it has been broken. Let's run it like that, okay? Price has to, number one, this candle has to reverse and become green, and then take out blue and climbing, then take out this trend line, then the 50% fib, reverse fib, this trend line, 62. And when price gets up into this area, I will remove the reverse fibs and I will draw normal fibs. In a downtrend, you draw fibs from the high to the low. In an uptrend, you draw fibs from the low to the high. But I'm not convinced yet that we're actually in an uptrend. We are above the BBC, but we can't seem to gain any traction and move price higher substantially. So, let's go to the 30-minute chart. I already showed you the CTAs from last night. We had no trigger on the long side. We did trigger on the short side at 41.23. We dropped to 41.17. That's 6 points at $50 a point, $300 per contract traded. Then we got back above the trigger, dropped again. So far, we've dropped to 41.20 and a quarter. So that's about 2.75 points, $50 a point. You should anticipate support at this previous swing low if we continue lower. And if we then continue lower, this bullish cross right here, which led to an extended move to the upside, the first time price revisits the area of the bullish cross, you can almost always expect that to be good support. However, there's already been plenty of opportunity to get your goal for the day. And We're just on our second trigger. Once, remember, once an alert triggers, there's a greater probability of it triggering multiple times than not triggering multiple times. Moving on to the Dow. No trigger on the long side. But as you can see, we moved from zone resistance to zone support, up to resistance at the BBC. And then right here, Wall Street open, which, as you know, I don't trade or put out alerts during the first 30 minutes of the Wall Street open, because things get pretty wild. And I don't want to trade wild. I want to trade high probability, low risk opportunities. Now from 9:25, this first trigger dropped to 9:11. So less than $100 per contract traded. When we get back above the trigger, down we come again. This time we dropped to 32,878. So we'll be conservative and call it 32,880. From 880 to 925, that's 45 points at $5 a point. It's over $200 per contract traded. We then got back above the trigger, dropped again. We caught a very small move down, basically 15 points. $5 a point, $75 per contract traded. On the Russell, no trigger on the long side. Keep in mind, these are the CTAs. The logic alerts, which are based on current price action, we've seen numerous triggers and targets, etc. But I encouraged all of you to take a screenshot of the CTAs that were published last night at 6:30 p.m. Eastern for all of our members and everyone on the free trial. You know, one of the beautiful things about being a trader, owning your own business, publishing, producing your own show, is when you have 101 fever, there's nobody to stop you from showing up for work. So here I am. Yeah, I'm still a little under the weather, but by the grace of God, I'll be much better soon. Okay. 1898 was the trigger. And it took us down to 1888. 10 points, $50 a point, $500 per contract trade. Now you'll notice here, this vertical line separates today, Wednesday, from yesterday, Tuesday. Price consolidated at the weekly zone for a number of hours. Only three things happen at a weekly trading zone. Now the weekly zones go out to our members Monday morning at 6:15 a.m. Eastern. We published the zone since December 14th of 2009. So we have well over a decade of data that tells us how price will behave around the weekly zones. The most common thing you're going to see is this, consolidation. Second most likely thing is rejection. That's where, when the 30-minute candle closes, the only thing left touching the zone, see, we got rejected at the zone here, rejected at the zone here. When price moves up to a zone, we expect resistance. When price drops to a zone, we expect support. And in both cases, that's exactly what we got. We rallied up. We did not make it to the zone. We rolled over, came down, triggered. And again, from 98, we made it all the way down to 88. 10 points, 50 a point. $500 per contract traded. But Now, these zones were published Monday morning at 6:15 a.m. Eastern. Here it is, Wednesday, halfway through the week. Support or resistance, support, resistance, support. Over and over again and again. That's how markets work. Price flows from support to resistance, back to support, back to resistance, over and over again and again. It's a never-ending cycle. That has been in existence since the inception of the markets and will remain in existence until the markets cease to exist. Now, the weekly trading zones, once they're published Monday morning, they're carved in stone. We don't change them, massage them, manipulate them in any way. Support, our support, the resistance, the support. Now, the weekly zones, you should consider those your fixed support and resistance. The indicators, those serve as your dynamic support and resistance. Now, because price is below the green line, the BBC, we got red and falling, we're below the step line. We should do nothing but expect lower prices from this point. Now, there was a bullish cross just below this weekly zone. Okay. And so it's a high probability that if price takes out this low at 88, it's going down to the zone, which is 84/85. NQ. NQ pays $20 a point. As you can see here, price got rejected at the trigger. This is where we opened last night. We consolidated for many, many, many hours right along the weekly zone. Remember, only three things happen in a zone. Most common is consolidation. So we finally triggered 12,751. And we ran up to 83. So to be conservative, we'll call it 81. It's 30 points, $20 a point, $600 per contract traded. When we get back below the zone, trigger again, which actually leads us to here. And then we get back below the zone, and now it appears we may trigger the short CTA, and if we do, be very much aware of this previous bullish cross that has yet to be tested. Whenever there's a bullish cross that leads to an extended move, the first time price revisits that area, it will almost always be support. The opposite is true of a bearish cross. The bullish cross is simply when the blue line crosses above the green line. We really do try to keep it as simple as possible. Crude oil. No trigger on the short side. Market open, pull down to the BBC. The pullback holds more often than it doesn't. We get a leg, pull back to the BBC, it holds. Leg, pull back to the BBC, it holds. And then we trigger 1250. And it takes us up to 121.36. That's $860 per contract traded. And we get back below the trigger, make another run up to 121.01. That's $510 per contract traded. Then we get back below the trigger, and the target, the published target, on, let me clarify, okay, on all alerts, logic, which will often have multiple targets, or concierge, either one, the final trade to target on a long is the zone overhead. On a short, it's the zone below. And so we trigger and we go right to the zone. Now we've moved on. Our more experienced traders would know how to stay with this trade until it starts to show weakness. But from 120.50 to 121.90, that's $1,400. 50. $1,400 per contract traded. And this is just a little gravy. On goal. No trigger on the long side. For short trigger. The trigger was 1849. We dropped to 1847.8. That's $120 per contract traded. Then we get rejected, and we get a trigger. Down to 1846.6. It's $240 per contract traded. And we're pulling back to the VBC. We expect the pull back to hold. It holds more often than not, which would then give us a leg up to the weekly trading zone. And if buyers are committed enough, we'll take out these highs and we'll trigger the long CTA. Silver, no trigger on the long side. On the short side, we have one trigger at 22.05, and that took us all the way down to 21.80. So two pennies is $100. So we're talking $1,250 per contract traded so far. Then we did get back above, we dropped below 21.99. That's $300 per contract traded. Now we're sitting on top of support, and we should look for a leg to the upside. You got a double top right here, which is potential resistance. And you've got this swing high, which is potential resistance. And then that would trigger your long trade from 32 up to the target at 37. And last but not least, the 6E, the euro. Here's where the market opened. We got below the BBC. And from A40, we dropped to 75-80 bucks per contract traded. Back above the trigger, down we go again. This time we dropped to 735 from A40. That's a little over $100 per contract traded. Then we trigger the long side. And from 200, we run up to 255. That's about $60, $70 per contract traded. And we get back below the trigger. Trigger again. And up to the target. That's over $125 per contract traded, and we've not had another trigger since. We have pulled back to the VBC now. We got red and falling overhead, which is potential resistance. If we can overcome this weekly zone, then there's a short distance up to red and falling. Personally, I would go look for a market that offers a higher probability and a lower risk trade opportunity. And that brings us back to the daily chart, where not much has happened since the start of the show. We're above the BBC, that's bullish. We're printing a red candle, that's bearish. Okay? So it's just gonna take some time Right now, institutional buyers and sellers are duking it out, trying to prove who's more committed to their positions, and they're both showing signs of weakness. So be careful out there. If the institutional traders can't find conviction, that makes it very difficult for you and I to find conviction. Yesterday, on our good word for the day, we talked about what it means to meditate. And we got deep down that rabbit hole. We talked about cows chewing their cud and the four stomachs. And if you missed yesterday's show, it's really worth just fast-forwarding to the end at youtube.com/CFRN. Listen to what we had to say yesterday about what it means to meditate and the different types of meditation, the mindfulness, the transcendental, to biblical. They're all different. Okay. And I don't knock any of them. The fact that you're willing to just simply set aside some time to try and meditate in your most humble way, that's forward progress. Remember, every time you fall on your face when you attempt to do something, that's forward progress. Get up, take a step, fall on your face again, forward progress. Okay? Keys got to keep getting back up. All right. Today we'll talk about having a love for God's Word. Psalm 119, verse 105, your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The psalmist highlights two important things Bible reading does for you. Number one, it shows you your spiritual condition. In Bible times, there were no paved roads. So when guests entered a house, they paused to wash the sand, dirt, and grime from their feet. That's what Bible reading does. The psalmist said in Psalm 119:9, how can young people and older ones keep their lives pure? By obeying your commands. Number two, it shows the direction you need to go. When you're faced with an important decision and you don't know which way to go, God will be a light to your path and guide you through His Word. And if you struggle with setting aside time because you have a busy schedule and that Bible on the bookshelf just keeps gathering more layers of dust, please consider checking out dailyaudiobible.com. You can listen to the podcast on Apple Podcast. You can download the Daily Audio Bible app. There are a number of ways to access it. And all you got to do, whether you're driving to work, or on the treadmill, or doing laundry, if you'll pop in your earbuds for 20 minutes a day, Brian Harden will take you from page one to the last page of the entire Bible in 1 year. So the next time somebody says, you ever read the whole Bible? You can say, yeah, a few times as time goes on. Trust me, you will find it easier to find time to pop in the earbuds than to break down the big book and blow the dust off the pages. And you'll also find this, the more that you listen, the more you will want to blow the dust off and read. It's so important to our growth as Christians, as believers. Because our mission on this earth is not to simply follow God so that we can be blessed. It doesn't end there. I mean, why does God bless us? Because he loves us? Yeah, but there's more to the story. Page two, as Paul Harvey used to say. God blesses us so that we can be a blessing to others. If you're not blessed, how are you going to be a blessing to someone else? And if you're blessed and you just protect your blessing, that pool is going to become stagnant, poisonous, and it could ultimately kill you. Blessing is designed to flow in and flow out. And the more it flows out, the more it flows in. When we shovel it out, God shovels it back in. The good news, he's God. He's got a bigger shovel. David, who loved God's word and meditated on it constantly, prayed this: teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. That's Psalm 143, verse 10. Many of the mistakes we make could be prevented if we stopped long enough to seek God's guidance. He knows what lies ahead. I'm supposed to be in court. I don't know if I'm going to go to court in the morning. If I still have a fever, it's probably unfair to the other people in the courthouse. We'll see. Okay. And so when I go in tomorrow morning and submit my evidence on a thumb drive, which I made the mistake last time of just showing up with my phone, and the judge said, "Sir, I can't accept your phone unless you don't want it back. I need your video and your photographs on a thumb drive." Now, God already knows what the outcome of this case is going to be. I don't. I mean, I guess worst case is I'm found guilty and I have to pay a fine, which I would have had to pay anyway. But I don't think I was wrong. I think I was railroaded, and I believe that I deserve my opportunity in court to present my evidence and allow an impartial third party, a judge, to find me guilty or not guilty. And whatever the outcome is, I know that God is with me. And I will accept that verdict with grace. He knows, God knows, what lies ahead. We don't. So Psalm 37:5 says, "Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." Just like children, you need to be taught to cultivate a taste for healthy food instead of junk food. You need to cultivate a taste for God's word. The psalmist said in Psalm 119:47, "I will delight myself in your commandments, which I love. Your word is very pure, therefore your servant loves it." Psalm 119:40. I'm sorry, 119:140. So friend, today ask God to give you a love for his word. Because I promise you, That is a prayer he will answer. That's our good word for the day. Thanks so much for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to, popped up on my screen. May God continue to richly bless you with his mercy and with his grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this, there is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Dwayne Reeves, his co-hosts, and guests. To learn more about trading e-mini futures or to take a one-week free trial in our live trading room, call 1-866-928-3310. 866-928-3310. Information discussed on this radio program should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed securities broker or financial planner before making any investment decision.